God be blessed.
God bless you. God bless you.
How wonderful it is for myself to come here among you. I have met you all from time to time. And I have loved you all. And we have shared many happy moments of learning together. So it is a special joy. And I am committed to join with you in your progression. I want you to know that I feel truly blessed to be permitted to come and sit amongst such as yourselves and to share these moments with you, trusting and believing in God, knowing that His work must and will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And it is a great joy for me to know that each and every one of you, in the time to come, if not now, will be instrumental in bringing this truth about. I feel so privileged to work here at the wish and the instigation of my brother John. And to know once again that on my right hand sits Elder Barry. I feel warmed to know it.
God bless.
So now, let us begin. Let us begin to consider the philosophies of that faith which you have chosen. A faith which has been put to one side by the majority of mankind. Not because it is evil. It is not. But because it creates within many people a fear of the unknown, a fear of something they cannot see, something they cannot touch, so they tell themselves. And I say to you, you can see it, and you can feel it. You can feel it here in this little home. You can see it in the eyes of your brother men, when they kneel and pray. You can see it in the eyes of a poor man, or a beggar, or a child, as I have told you many times before. It is all around you. It is a great and a wonderful truth. It is a revelation in the hearts of many. It is something which those of the hierarchy will always turn away from. Not because they don't believe, but because they fear it. We consider the days when the Master Christ walked this earth. He was teaching as we teach now. He was fulfilling the word of God and touching the hearts of the mankind with his many miracles and with his gentle philosophy, simple philosophy about man, about God. But there were those even in his day who feared him and feared his truth and feared his revelations, not because they didn't understand, but because they felt being scribes and Pharisees and high priests that they would lose their position, that they would lose control over their church, and they would have no more to speak about, and no one would follow them. The thinkings of a child, So it is today. Still there are the high priests, and still there are the scribes, but the apple of the Lord, and some of the Pharisees. Still walking this earth today, trying so hard to prevent the true light of the God coming into the hearts of mankind, and so lighting up their understanding of the truth of the spiritual life and the continuation of life, the truth of the rebirth, the truth of the miracle of healing, the gifts of a vision, gifts of understanding and perception, all these things they fear because in their blindness they cannot see them. And in their deafness they cannot hear them and will not hear them. There is no one so blind as a man who will not see. There is no one so deaf as the one who will not hear. There is none so dumb as the one who will not speak the truth of God, because he fears he will lose his position on earth. You have gathered here knowing these things to be so, knowing that God walks and manifests in the hearts of every man, and the example of his Son Jesus Christ is a living truth in all men. Did he not say, as I have ye done, greater things shall ye do also in my name? Listen to his teachings. Read them in your hearts. Take your holy book and let it become a part of your life. For it must be if you will fulfill those things you seek to do. Is it not enough to say, I have been and I have learned these many things? For what does it profit a man if he keeps all his treasures to himself, and he will not spend them, he will not share them, he will not give them away? But what does it profit a man if he receives the treasures of the love of God within his heart, and he will take them and he will share them with his fellow men, and he will enlighten them and enrich them, uplift them and uphold them, ever in the truth of God, in the true style of the Master Jesus? Christ once said, suffer the little ones, come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Was he talking about the little bambino all the time? Were the adults among them so proud that they were adults that they missed the viewpoint of what he was saying? You are his children. He has told you this. You are children of God, and he would suffer each and every one of you to come unto him, for within you such is the kingdom of heaven. When do you reach out to touch someone who is sick, and you bless them, and you hold him with compassion and understanding and love, are you not doing as the Master Jesus did? Even if it's one like this child which sleeps in his bed, a little brother of yours, even this is a child of God. And even this can be touched with his love and healing power. Even this can be touched with gentleness, just as each and every one of you can. And is it not in your hearts? After all the many times I have spoken with you, to do these things in his name, to love and uphold, to embrace and to love all things. I remember Brother John once said, or related, how just after the crucifixion, during the resurrection, Christ said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, brother of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Simon Peter said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And then he said again to him, Simon Peter, son of the Jonas, lovest thou me? And Simon Peter said again unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lamb. And he said again, a third time, Simon Peter, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? And Peter became concerned. And he said again unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Why do you say to me again a third time, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Why? Why did he say this to him? Because Jesus answered him a third time and he said to him, Feed my flock. Each time, Christ asked this of Simon Peter, it was he confirming in the Peter's heart the truth. He was seeking to search Peter. He was seeking to forgive him. Or was it not Peter who denied him thrice? Did the master not say to him, When the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice? For each question was a confirmation of his forgiveness for that denial. And each time, this question penetrated the heart of Peter to make him understand that the Christ, the risen Christ, was still the same man, still the same deep sea, forgiving, loving Son of God, that he had proclaimed himself to be here on earth. And many times you will feel this same question in your mind, and you will feel the truth of his forgiveness in your heart. For many times his name has been in vain, and used in vain, and misused it. For many times you may have denied him. Such is the time when you will push a beggar person away from you, or turn your back away from someone who is in it, or to injure someone, or to hurt them with words, or to harm them in any way, is to deny Christ, his love for you, and your understanding of his purpose here on earth. For was it not said to each and every one, Love ye one another as I have loved you? Take it to your bosom, your fellow man. Take it into your heart and understanding of, walk with them, share their burden, and in Christ we will carry yours. I hope we have given you a little food for thought. Just a little. Enough to stir your imagination. A difficult word before many of you, I know. But by this I mean, I want you to imagine in your heart the love, the joy, and the glory of fulfilling His name and His work here on earth. Of ensuring one among us, by the things you say and you do, to help your brothers and sisters, that the Master Christ was not crucified in vain, that He lives in you, each and every one of you, and He will manifest Himself in you in many ways. I say this because you are all at different levels of awareness. We know this, and we understand this, and we take this into consideration. Some are far more evolved than others. Some have a deeper inner side, a deeper sensitivity, a deeper awareness. Some are more receptive. We understand these things. All we ask is when you meet together in such a way that you put aside your differences of learning, and you meet as one. You meet in harmony and in truth, peace and love, just as the many disciples sat with Christ. He considered himself just as they are, children of God. And I consider you, each and every one, as I am, children of God. But not the hope of Oyenti. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not claiming to be a Messiah. Far be from thee. Like yourselves, I am only a servant. But like yourselves, I seek to evolve. I seek to grow. I seek to be an instrument of His love, in Christ, in God, and in you. So now that we have given you a time to think of, who would like to talk to me about that?
Well, Master Neville, what I would like you to do, if you would, is to recite to us when Michelangelo went to get his big block of marble.
This I really do, Papa.
Thank you.
I will do it with love for you. But first of all, please allow someone to talk with me if you have a difficulty in understanding what I have to say to you. Is there something you would want to talk to me with? No one. No one will talk to myself. And what of the brother John? Are you content with what I have to say to you?
Yes, thank you very much.
And Claude, he's a nice and a warm for myself to know you.
Are you happy, Marcel, for us to ask you questions about the Bible in relation to the life of Jesus and where the ideas of the church have gone wrong in their teaching, with the teaching of Christ? Are you happy to explain these errors to us?
I will seek it within my heart to do what thee wish. I will only serve thee to please you, Brother John. I will do all I can. This is the way you have.
You heard what we had to say about the purpose and nature of this gathering, did you not, my son? Did you hear it?
I believe that you wish to put it in the pages of the book. Is this so?
For the children of Earth to learn eventually.
Brother John, if this is in your heart, you have reminded me that I'm feeling so humble. Mm-hmm.
This may be when I've gone and when the instrument has gone. Do you understand? But we shall gather these teachings together, and they will be treasured as the writings of the Old Testament and so on.
I will be privileged so much if this is your wish.
Yes, thank you.
We're using a tape, Marcelo, that runs for one of our hours. I'm sorry we've got to burden you with time, but it runs for an hour. And we've talked this over amongst ourselves, and we think that these tapes will be passed on to whoever wishes to listen to them.
Is whatever is in your heart, Papa. I will work it to please you.
Thank you.
I have in no fear of those things of which I speak. Is all of you are now happy? I have enough of the ladies in talking again. Why do I find all these silent ladies?
I haven't really got a question, Marcella.
Oh, hello.
I'm very happy to be here and to sit and listen. I question myself. I haven't really got a question from you.
Thank you. You are always the blessed one. You are always the one who will lay yourself beneath that place you deserve to stand. Come up there now, Valerie, and be one of us, and enjoy those things you have to do. I will be with you. You understand me? Jacqueline, you wish to talk to me.
No, I don't think I
can
do that. Same as well. I'm just enjoying being here.
Okay.
Okay.
And likewise. Okay. For Miss Ella also. To know you here. Sorry, is there no more questions? All these have. I have not heard the voice of in my brain yet. Are you content with that?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. My mind's fine. It's unusual.
I told you, we will have you all at the same level. You understand?
Yes. Okay.
For me. And Christopher, you are contained to your answer.
Yes, thank you.
With your little box of the whatever it is.
Yeah, that's going on its own.
I will leave you to play. So, I wish now to abide by the wish of the papare. And I want you to think of the story I am going to tell, because it's not so much a story of the Michelangelo Buonarroti scene, but it is a story of you. It is a story of seeking and looking and knowing. It's a story of a conviction in what you believe. Buonarroti was a young man. He was about 20 years of age, shall we say. Long before Marcello touched him that time. And he was commissioned by, I believe, Pope Philip, to create a monument to his tomb. and he accepted his commission. And he sent to Buonarroti with the necessary money to buy a block of marble. Buonarroti, being the one he was he not content to rely on the judgment of others, because he knew in his heart that this wasn't going to be his masterpiece. He had been so loved and longed and yearned to lay his hand on this treasured piece of earth. Carrara marble, Snow White, flawless, beautiful meat he got. And so he went himself to the marble pits of Carrara, and he stood diligently over the stone cutters as they hacked away into the great walls to withdraw this huge great block of marble. He was in your measurements, I suppose, about 5 foot deep, possibly more. It was 9 feet in height, and it was about, I have forgotten you and done the thing we mentioned, what you would say, 8 and 10 feet long. Maybe more, I don't know. Is it about something like this? I don't understand your measure. But it was a great, massive block of a solid, white, snow-white marble. And when it was carved, after many attempts, he tried so hard to believe that he actually had such a piece of meat here in front of him. And he had it handled with great care and with great fuss and much ado to make sure that not a part of it was chipped or damaged in any way. And he was taken from Carrara under his supervision all the way to Rome. When he got to Rome by boat, I suppose Buonarroti, being a man who was almost died with a failing heart, for his precious block of marble was dropped in the mud and nearly sank. And he was hysterical on his dockside, shouting and raving, knowing that this was his only chance to create the one masterpiece, and he was watching it slowly sink into the mud. But he paid many more scudos than he was meant to have it torn out of the mud and brought it to his studio. His studio at this time was on a hill, one of the 7 hills of the rock. And he would sit and he would look at this block. He worshipped it almost as much as he worshipped his God. He loved it more than he loved himself and his family. It was his greatest treasure. And he would sit for days. Day after day he would sit. And he would watch his block of the mouth. He would scrub it clean and white each time. And before the crack of dawn, he would throw buckets of water over it and keep it covered with wet sacking so it was totally wet. And would he position himself so that when his sun just began to crack over the brow of the hill, he would rip off the sackcloth, throw a bucket of water over, maybe two. And he would just sit and watch from the other side of the block to the sunrise, and he could see each little bench, each mark, each seam, each tiny crack. He could see its ridge points, he could see its weak ones, he could see the path he no longer wished to have. He could search it and see right through it. He could see the sun lighting it up as it rose, revealing all the very things that Michelangelo Buonarroti wished to see on it. And it was at this time he was considering, what can he carve from this masterpiece of a piece of rock? What can he take from this beautiful piece of his snow-white marble that will be remembered by mankind for the rest of time? And he was talking of this in his heart when worried, as he sat watching this gleaming piece of marble before him. And he saw a vision. He saw a vision of the Virgin Mary cradling the body of the Christ. And he could see the look of love and compassion in the expression of the Marie. A look of knowing, of the knowing that this had to be, of knowing that he was born in that stable in the bed, for this to happen. Blessed by man, condemned by man, never to be destroyed by man. He could see the expression of this thing, the outstretched hand, as much as to say, this is my only begotten Son, he in whom I was well pleased, just as he is the Father. She knew he had to die. She knew he had to suffer. And she knew all through her lifetime that one day this final moment was to come. And all these Buonarroti could see in her face, in her hands, in her stature, as she sat there, cradling her loved son. And he could see in the face of Christ the peace and the repose, gentleness, forgiveness and love, even in death, engraved into his face. He could see the life of the body, at last they cradled in the arms of his mother, ever loved and eternally understood. Buonarroti's excitement grew even more. Now he knew which he must do. He dashed into his studios, split open some sheets of the parchment. He took his pen, and with the lightning speed for which he was known and renowned, he sketched all the day and all the following day. All through the night, he sketched and created a picture of this masterpiece which he had seen. He had a carpet, built him a frame, and he went to the banks of the Tiber, and he took buckets and buckets and buckets of mud and clay, and he created this masterpiece in clay, draping over it with wet cloths so that he could see the hang of the horns of the garments, draping it over the head of the Madonna so he could see the beautiful dress, until he got a perfect balance, and the proportion was perfect, in depth, in length, in breadth, in height, in every angle. He was perfect. And Bernardi was beside himself with excitement. After weeks of him working with his filthy mind and stinking to hiding whatever. For he did not believe in washing. He felt he was unclean. And so he would plaster himself in his mind as much as he would plaster his Madonna. And he took this and he sketched it to perfection. Wrinkle by wrinkle, he caught the perfect repose on the face of the Madonna. He caught the perfect peace and love in the face of the Christ. He brought into it the lovely, gentle state of the death, draped across his arm and knee. The hand is stretched out in helplessness, yet understand. And forgiveness. And having done this, his great work was to be done. He removed the block of the marble into his studio yard. He shut everything away from him, would not allow no one to come in here. And then he began his work. He made his tools. He made his own tools. Especially for his job. Especially for his task. And his greatest and loving task of his life. When it was completed, he began carving, gently, cutting away, knowing exactly where each and every seam and flaw in that marble was. And he knew exactly where each imbalance was. He knew its depth, he knew the pitch, he knew how to cut, he knew which way the grain was running so he could run his chisel along the grain and so cause as little damage to his block as possible. Until he was created. He worked there until he was 26 years of age. Creating this memorial for man of the son of man and the mother of man. So it was after many months and years his work was created. And mankind was blessed with this eternal gift, the Pietà Madonna. Why have we told you this story? What is it so important? Why do I relate it with you? Is it so simple? Is it so simple? If you could see yourself as a sculptor, as a Michelangelo, and say that before you is this great block of pure white Carrara. And let us say that this block is your life. And God has given you this precious stone, this precious gift, to carve for yourself. Something which man will love and adore for all time. You are the architect of your own creation. You are a sculptor of your own portrayal of yourself. You are the artist and the painter of your own order. All things of God. And you are the poet within yourself. As he was. Who really create the words of love which will settle in the hearts of men all time. So I say to you, take this block, take this life that you have. Carve from it that which God can love. Sing forevermore. Leave with it a radiance Your fellow man will be in the camp at the Lord of America. And we sit apart. Live in the hearts of all mankind. Do you have a card from this? A member. An image. A work of art. A work of love. A work of peace. A work of joy. You are the sculptor, as I have it taught, of your own image. You have the tools of your trade in your hand. What are they? You say. I really say to you that these are the spiritual gifts that you have within you. Take them, honor them, bless them within yourself. Use them to counter for yourself and of yourself, actually. Something which God really adores and mankind really revere for the rest of your life. Is it not simple? Such a gentle understanding of all that you are. But I say to you, go your way. Be a Donarote. Be a scout. Be a painter. Be a poet. Be an architect. The architect of your own being. This is my happy birthday.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is anyone wish to ask any questions? We haven't talked a little while. We haven't told you something of philosophy that you might take with you and keep in your heart. We haven't told you a little story to enhance these philosophies. Why do we think all these must come to us? It must come to us because we have it here in this plane and on your plane. And the one and the other must commune in order to allow mankind to know gently and safely and contentedly that the two are one in God. And so is the wish of Brother John that I must come and talk with you. This I will do with great joy. There is things which must be done and it must be understood in order for us to keep a true vibration of love, a true vibration of a harmony and understanding and a one, one and one another. Is my wish that you will commune here at the time appointed by yourselves, primarily by Brother John, and will be in the guidance of the other path. And you will say perhaps in your hearts, take one master item. You are most important. You are so important. Because it is in knowing that such loved ones are here, such as those who know myself, and who knows I will not trick your heart or your understanding. Because it is in my avowed purpose as a universal teacher to reach out the hand on behalf of God and to touch the hearts of his children wherever I may and to bring the word of love and peace into their hearts. But I cannot do it unless I know that each and every child here is reaching to myself with the same love his own philosophy and his own spiritual love as I reach out with it to you. And I can only believe it if I know those with whom I am going together are of a like mind and are of a dedicated heart and dedicated purpose. And I know and love so deep each and every one. I feel content when you are near. I feel humbled to be in your presence. I feel so gifted to know that you come in the sacred understanding of my words. Because in my words, humble though they may be, are only an echo of the words of the Master Christ. And it is not for the purpose of understanding, it's a communal one with the other. It is for the purpose of Christ's truth here on earth to become manifest in the hearts of all those who will come to understand the teaching of the Master. But I am here in service. I have his voice, if you wish. I am once again apprentice to Christ instead of the world. So I spoke in the heart of reason, and I personally named those whom I wished to be taken enough. Why did I do this? Because this was conceived in the heart and the mind of his brother John, that this should be done, and that Christ's teachings should be made clear and understood. So I came. I feel content to know if the body is at my right hand, knowing that all is well in the absence of instruction. I came because I know Nzorovli was here to protect and has he sealed this group in his way. And he is protected by his love and the love of others who will stand and protect each and every one of you. I am so joyed to know it. Brother Brian is here also. Because I know he is a stalwart in truth. I know he has a great and deep understanding within his heart, and he can share this understanding with those of you who still think. And he can bring love, as he always does, and joy, and a good balance, and ensures that no one will allow their thoughts to run away and create visions in their minds instead of truth. So it is I welcome you, you pride, into the world. And love you for being here with yourself. I feel thankful. And I ask for Valerie to come. Because there is in the laughter of his family a great joy. It is, I suppose you say, infectious love. And I am so joyed to hear this. And there is a great dedication. There is great truth in all that she says. There is sometimes often bewilderment, but not too much. She questions herself too much and fails sometimes to recognize the beautiful ability she has got to unite people in love and in truth and in joy and to bring an element of laughter and lightheartedness into these things. For it is not always the same. So I welcome you, darling. You are a blessed child. I love you very much. And then we ask for grief. We ask you for grief, Stephen, because there is such a sincere and dedicated seeking in his heart to learn the truth for truth's sake, to know and understand himself, and to know that there is a great Redeemer, and that in this himself is his own redeeming grace. He is a just. He is a loyal. He is a true child of God. And again, I love him very much. And I know we will spend many, many happy and joyful, happy hours together, talking of the things of the night. And so I welcome you into my heart. Also, and he Jacqueline, gentle Jacqueline, serene in love, gentle in understanding, and hurried in pace, unconcerned. As long as she knows that she is loved, seeking a gentle truth within her, always a loving mom, a true example in the eyes of him herself, as the gentleness and the grace I see in the potential of God. You are a very gentle soul, Jacqueline. And this gentleness and love, this serenity and grace, is so much required here in this little group, as a constant reminder of the love and the reverence and sincerity which is of the greatest importance. So I welcome you also into my and into the presence of these, your children and brothers, sisters. You understand this, Jacqueline? Thank you. And again, last but never, never the least important, is my brother Russell, whom I love so much, who has he travelled such a long way across these earths, to find his place in life, just as I did, to become an apprentice to God, to become a servant of gentleness, of seeking, of revelation, and of truth. There is in your heart, Erasmus, so many rich qualities which my fellow love. I love your hesitancy, which is born of your gentleness, not of your fear. It is born of your reverence and of your grace. Again, you will create here among your brothers and sisters a gentle peace, a gentle understanding. And so closes the gate on the fall. You are my little shepherd. And again, I love you very much. I bring you into my heart also, and into the hearts of each and every one. And it is my wish that as I have you welcomed each and every one of you into my heart, that you will welcome one another into each other's hearts, sing with love and with harmony and with truth and grace. And together we will in life. Together we progress and unfold. In many revelations which lay before man, we cannot only unfold in view, because we are only limited by the amount of years that we can be seated together. And I want you to know, as long as my blessings have been on the job, things are necessary for you to gather in love and peace, and in whenever he deems it necessary to do so, you will answer his call. Come to him for as long as he is the will of God. You are one. You are one in Israel. You are one in Christ. You are the true vine. Grow well, and may the fruits of your anger enrich in those who will receive from the vine of your teaching and of your being. I have spoken again for a long time. Is it your wish that we would like to talk to William and Helena? Is there any doubt in your heart as to your purpose, why you are here? Is there any fear? Is there any cause for you to hesitate? Then, is everyone in mind divine? Or is it because we have filled your heart in the form that is necessary for its time?
I think everyone, Marcella, that listened to your words may have understood everything you said.
It's time, yeah. I was living now. I wish you all the love that God can give. May he speak forever in your heart. May I say, I wish your next time was in the next hour.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
God is there.
God bless you. God bless.
God bless you, much. I am so joyful, and I am called to talk with you and to the Father on your behalf. Will you join with me now? And let us talk and praise his name. O loving Father, may the blessing of my Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, live and remain in the hearts of these thy children, dedicated in thy cause to serve thy thee. I bless my brother John, that he may reveal in the hearts of all men through his word the love and the truth of the Holy Spirit and of its cause within us and in mankind. Take into your heart, O Father, each child one by one. breath and power and receive them into thine service and into thine mind and into thine eternal grace. Heal them, adore them, and adorn them. They may become thy servants in thy cause and reveal to their fellow men all those words of thy love and peace which they must hear and understand. Bring into their hearts, O Lord, thine humility and peace and love. I bless you in his name. I trust you according to his holy will. With the spirit of love and peace, that it may enter your heart and into your understanding and fulfill you with his grace and enrich in your peace. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in whom he liveth and reigneth as one body and in one cause. May he touch you and bless you and receive you into his service and into his keeping and into his life. May he take away from your heart the heaviness of unseen. May he fill you with his grace and his peace. And may he be forever your life. In the name of our Son Jesus, who liveth and reigneth in one God. In the name of his cause, in the name of his peace, I bring you his love, I bring you his peace, and his stillness within your heart. Go forward in his grace and in his cause. May the blessings of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit rest now and remain with you always, and remain in your heart from now until the end of your journey. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, I bless you. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your words through your servants, Marcello, Augustus, and Azura. Bless them. May their service to earth be enhanced. May they be given greater opportunities, many more plentiful. Father, that we ask your blessing upon the purpose of our gathering. Remember Christ's words of whatsoever you do in thy name, you do it unto me. You do it unto the least of your children, Father. Help us to treasure the great gift of communion between the two worlds. May we see that which is only spirit. May there come into our midst those conditions which represent the upper room of Jerusalem. Indeed, we may each one of us feel that we have been in the presence of the Master. We ask your blessings upon theirs. Way he disposes himself to be of service. That is beautiful and high and holy. May he be protected in all things. May your love reign in this little home. guide, guard, and protect him in all your ways. And now bless each one of us as we go our several ways. Let your love and your peace be a cloak around our shoulders and a shield in front of us. We bless all those who black, who would take your holy will and love and use it for other things. As our brothers and sisters, we still claim them. Indeed, may their understanding be touched as the guides have said. And now may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. The blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, come down upon each one of us, and upon all whom we love, for whether here or out of the body, and remain with us this night and until we meet again. Amen.